This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, sir, already told you in the first verse and the chorus, but I'll give you one more chance. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 15th of June. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Vidisha Hantaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Heartbreak. Heartbreak for Scotland. Fish is back. He's bringing word from the border. How are they?
These are dark times up north. Travel down on a horse. I'd be a terrible horse rider.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's like swimming in the air, isn't it, a little bit?
Right.
But on an animal.
We're swimming in the air.
There's an element of you need to be in total control of, yeah, of what you're in. You're not in the horse, you're on the horse.
Yeah, you're riding it very badly if you're in the horse, bitch.
A mate was in the front and I was in the back and we were being the horse, yeah?
Sorry, you're the arse in that situation.
Why do I do this? I had the choice, didn't I?
Yeah. And
I
chose. Yeah. You've given the brains of the operation.
Don't need the glory.
But brought back news.
Yeah, it was very sad because I got to Glasgow on Sunday and it was... it was quite calm and there was a sense that obviously, you know, 23 years of waiting, everyone was keeping their powder dry, maybe literally for the next day. And it was such a great atmosphere going into the game, going into Hampden. Mm. And then before it was just gorgeous. And then they started playing football. And no one told them that that was going to happen. And then it just went a bit south, didn't it?
But the disco number. Yes, I can boogie. It's one of my favourite intros to a song ever. It's just got a lovely sort of start to that song. And the woman just sings, I don't know who it is, the woman sings like that.
They're called like Baccarat or something.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Baraka, isn't it? Yeah.
Baraka, thank you.
Yeah. It's such a good start to a song. It's one of my favourite disco numbers. So it was
beautiful.
Such a joyous video you sent over.
Yeah, well, it was we're talking about it now, aren't we?
We're talking about it. We're straight in.
Yeah, okay, right.
The Czech Republic beat Scotland 2-0, unfortunately, for our good friends the Scots.
Yeah. So after listening to the pod you did on the Christian Eriksen stuff, and you talked about how people come to football for certain releases or watch football for certain releases, and, you know, you handled it very carefully, and you can see that from the reaction that you got that people also appreciated talking about it. And I felt like that kind of start up to at Hampden Park, where everyone's together singing, was exactly what we seek from the game. Mm. Even before the football had started, everyone was there together. The songs, you know, songs were being sung, and it was gorgeous. And the DJ played an absolute blinder, where he just, you know, he's playing a few tracks, and everyone was getting into it, and then he just dropped it.
Oof.
But he dropped it kind of maybe 30 seconds into the actual song itself.
Mm.
And so everyone just went nuts. And the video I sent through, you can, you know, everyone singing, and you get the Scottish accent coming in for the boogie woogie.
It's so good.
And it was a reminder of not just, I suppose, about having fans back at grounds, but Scotland back at a major tournament.
Yeah.
And the whole generational thing of, you know, some Scotland fans would have not known anything of Scotland being in a championship and have been bored to death by the older generations talking about it constantly. Yeah. So in that regard, it was genuinely stunning to be there, because I was a bit unsure about Euro fever because we haven't really had a break from the Premier League and stuff like that. And then the Ericsson stuff happened, and I was a bit like, God, you know, obviously I'm not a medical expert at all, but I was thinking about how's this happened, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And it kind of got me a little bit more down as well. And then being there really kind of stuck me right back up. Yeah.
Yeah, the atmosphere did look initially, the atmosphere looked incredible. The Czech Republic, they got to see a good goal, didn't they, Hampden? They got to see a bloody incredible Patrick Schick goal.
That's why I told them at the end, how good was that? Be happy you saw that.
Marshall in the net was fucking brilliant. It's like a man had fallen off a trapeze into a net. It was brilliant. Really threw himself in there.
If Kevin Keegan ever took up fishing, that's how he'd end up.
Yes.
Steve Clark didn't blame David Marshall for the amazing goal, for being so far up the field. But Flash score went one step further. They said, David Marshall is stranded way out of his goal after his team loses possession, and Patrick Schick has the simplest of tasks to shoot the ball into an empty net from distance.
Yeah. It's a bit more to it than that, wasn't it? Because there was some proper weight and spin in it as well.
It was beautiful.
He added a little bit on there. But yeah, I think you can have the keeper's out of position and that Hendry shouldn't have shot because it ricocheted off a defender and then gave the Czechs possession. But you have to take those two opinions as a multi-pack. They must not be sold separately. You can't have one and not the other. You have to have both or zero. Don't blame anyone or blame everyone.
Is it like, can you, like, you know, separate it where, you know, sometimes you go into a corner shop and it says should not be sold separately.
And it's just sold separately.
Sold separately.
Yeah,
I always like that.
But the thing is, though, it's the shortest possible counterattack, isn't it? Because they didn't actually gain possession.
No.
They blocked a shot and he just shot from 50 yards. And so, like, I wasn't even that mad at Henry for taking the shot, because I was like, of all the things that could happen at that moment, you're not going to think, right, as soon as I shoot, the next person to kick the ball is going to score.
Yeah, exactly.
And you might think, I'll take that deal with the devil, because it's probably someone on our side, given we're 30 yards away from their goal. Oh, stunning. The saddest thing about the Marshall thing was that he was a big reason that why they're there in the first place. Mm. Like, what a bastard of a game this is, where that iconic celebration of him asking the referee if he can celebrate now, just ending the net
with such violence.
Iconic shot.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I spoke to a photographer after the game who was at the other side of the ground, and he was like, oh, I'm a bit annoyed because if I was on that side, I could have got him like wrapped up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I only got this, and it's the photo of him like jazz handing the wrong way into the goal and the ball's already past him, and it's worse. So much worse.
It's the longest distance from which a goal has been scored ever in the history of the Euros. Schick said he planned it. I liked that. I like that a lot. He saw where Marshall was setting himself up.
Mm.
Have you seen all the different angles from the goal?
I think
I don't know if I've seen all of them.
Oh, it's worth
seeking
out.
How many angles are there?
Any one you can find,
Okay.
Pete and I will recreate it outside as well, so you got the full idea.
Cool.
But you see from one angle how far wide he starts.
Yeah.
And like, I often think when you lob a goalkeeper, you've got a bit of margin for error because you just need to hit it over the keeper. You don't need to, especially if you hit it
and
straight.
And you need to put it piercy so the keeper doesn't get back. But that was...
Also, you don't want it to flabbily just fall.
No, you don't want a flabby fall.
But the execution of that goal, and because he's left-footed, if he tries to slice it, that's what I suppose his margin of error is greater.
Mm.
The execution of it was so good because he starts it so wide, and it goes, you know, past the line so high as well. It's not that far under the bar.
Yeah.
Just brilliant, yeah.
And I can't remember who was saying it, but like, usually when you score those goals, the ball's coming toward you, so you can transfer a little bit of energy.
Oh, yes.
But he has to invent that energy from Norway. It was just, like, and at that point, Scotland were taking probably more risks than they would be at the start of the game. It was a real shame, because Scotland, it's going to be a real uphill battle for them to get out of this group now. The way that you assume England are going to set up against them, I think they're going to keep it quite tight at the back. So, and Scotland aren't known for putting absolute hatfuls past people. It's going to be really, really difficult for them, a real uphill struggle, and they could have done with a point there.
Yeah, most people, of course, thought that this was their chance to,
yeah.
their best chance. Having watched both of the games, do you still think that?
Well, that start of the second half where Vasilic makes that good save from what would have been a Kallas own goal, and then Dykes should have scored. And
they should have scored loads, by the way, don't you think?
I don't know, loads. They were a better side when Che Adams came on, definitely.
Yes.
For the start of the second half.
And you got to look at the management there and sort of go, he should have started, because that was transformative when he came on the second half.
Yeah, because I thought Armstrong, you know, I didn't mind, you know, Armstrong there and Christie alongside Dykes. But yeah, well, Che Adams just, there was that weird little gap in the middle where Che Adams just filled and did good things in. Mm. So yeah, maybe that's something to consider. I thought, yeah, I mean, that was the game they should have won. I said this outside, I probably shouldn't say it on here, but I might as well. I am kind of all in on them getting a point against us on Friday.
Yeah.
Because we don't need it. We don't need 3 points. Give them one.
I'm actually kind of all right about that as well.
Yeah, just let them have one.
My take is that I feel nervous about it being, quote unquote, too easy for England. I don't know if I want us to go through points.
I think any Scottish consumer of football media over the past few days will be astounded about how positive everyone's been about England. Yeah. Me included, to be honest. But
don't mean that they're amazing or anything. I'm just speaking, you know, our Scottish brothers.
I think Scotland's intensity, the intensity at the nearer the end of the game, where they sort of had sort of half chances here and there, and they seemed willing to beat their defenders. You know, McGinn was poor, Tierney being out was a big miss, obviously, but would you stop any of those goals, really? It's a fucking great header right in the corner.
Ugh. Yeah, it's true. They did well. Scary Czech Republic. 2-0 final score. One for Marcus. Not only did the Scots rack up no yellow cards, there were also only 12 fouls in the entire game. The lowest on record at the Euro since 1980.
That's really surprising, because it was quite a bitty game.
I know. I'll just read them out. They sent, what is it you always say on Portman, Tony? They send them in.
They send them in. I don't write them. I don't write this.
They do the fouling.
Scotland come to Wembley then Friday night at 8:00. Vish says it's fine. Come in, settle in.
Yeah.
Take your draw.
Yeah.
Fuck off, back up there.
Don't say fuck off, back up there. But just like, you make your own world in, you know, in an orderly fashion, quickly as well, because we've got a game on Tuesday here. But yeah, just give them, let them have a point. Can we start a campaign? Give them a point.
Is it a sleeper agent? This is so patronising. What I love is that you're sort of saying something that would be helpful for Scotland, but in a way that's going to make Scottish fans hate you.
It's the Limmy's 20s plenty. One's plenty. One point is plenty.
When I tweeted the video of them singing Baraka, loads of people replied after the game, and they're like, yeah, great being in the stands, mate, but that was fucking shit out there. And I was like, well, I didn't play. What are you doing? I just sent a video. It's a nice video. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I liked your contribution,
Vish.
Thank you. Also, yesterday, Poland lost 2-1 to Slovakia. Szczesny with an own goal. He has a bit of an odds record in Euros, or possibly he's cursed. He was sent off in Poland's opener in Euro 2012 and injured in their first game at Euro 2016. Didn't play for the rest of the tournament, but probably that goal was really all about Robert Mack, who knifed through the legs of...
through the legs? What is going
on? Mack the knife. Is that what you're trying to do?
Oh.
You could have had Return of the Mack. You could have had Big Mack.
It went for Mack the Knife from Guys and Dolls.
You could have had macadamia nuts.
Yes.
Mac and cheese.
Here we go. Producer laughing.
Producer Charlie laughing.
That is good shit.
Yeah. You heard the word nuts. You think it's funny?
Penis. I'm just trying to
macadamia nutmeg. Is that what you were doing?
I mean, yeah, that's...
Oh, fucking hell. I thought I was adding levels to your comedy.
No, you were bringing it down.
Yeah, if anything.
And I thought it was low enough.
Oh.
You brought it down after I just said penis for no reason.
A joke's like a frog. You cut it asunder and it dies.
I'm actually quite proud of managing to lower
from
that
a little tadpole.
It was a good fun game, elevated by Emma Hayes' commentary. I thought raving about it online, which is weird, right?
Well, it's weird because we've literally, that is the bar now. No one's ever. I can't remember the last time I heard maybe Nevin. In his after a couple of drinks, babe. I don't know. Just his most effusive and expressive. But she was flipping amazing. Second phase of play, this, pivots here. You never hear that level of insight, and you should do from your core comms.
You kind of should, shouldn't you?
Well, after that,
that should be their job.
Well, that drop off to Danny Murphy, just going, I'm an egg with eyebrows.
In an Emma Hayes.
I've done a poo poo.
One of the things I liked about Emma Hayes is that she angles positives rather than berating the negatives. Mm. So when there was that own goal, you know, she was saying, look, let's look at the wonderful attacking play from Mac. Mm. And cheese, and the individual excellent defending from Slovakia and all this sort of stuff. So I really liked the way that she kind of improved the tone as well and kind of focused on explaining what was good about what was happening.
Can we get her fired from her job?
Yeah,
she's just done everything.
It's harsh, isn't it? We did lose 4-0 in the Champions League final.
What do you know?
But isn't that because, you know, she is a football coach and she's a very good football coach.
Like, yeah, but like football coaches have, yeah, but football coaches are do core comms a lot and they just sort of
do-do is the word.
But they don't do that. They're always like ex-players who happen to have coached and managed, but they've done that because they're ex-players.
Right. Okay.
So their understanding of the game is a bit different from hers, where she's just worked from the ground up. Whereas they've come in at whatever they think their blind spots are, and basically just coloured them in to get the job that they got, that they're like, oh, former so-and-so manager. Mm. Where she's just been a bit like, she's been a lot more holistic with it.
Yeah.
I remember, my partner, when she was a coach out in the US, and she went to a coaching seminar in like the Midwest, and Emma Hayes was there, and she was just like talking through people through like taxing and stuff like that. My partner had no idea who Emma Hayes was. I don't think a lot of people did at the time. Mm. We're talking about like 2012, I think. Yeah, actually, no, like 2008. And she was just brilliant. And my partner says that like she's basically the same as what you see on TV now. Mm. She's just kind of maintained that, I suppose, that level headedness and that persona. This is not just because she's Chelsea boss and she's winning things. She's always kind of been like this. So maybe that's the other side to it. It's all just quite natural to her.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of your partner, Vish, can you apologise publicly for waking her up this morning by fidgeting?
Yeah, so...
weird that Pete... We should probably clarify how Pete knows that.
I'm always watching.
Yeah, so we were... you sent a message in the group late last night saying this is going to be a terrible night's sleep.
It is. It's too hot, it's too sweaty.
Yeah.
And I was like, all night rave, and everyone's just not up for it. So no. I've been out, I'm twitching.
No. It's a good thing that we saw that thing where you can mute one person in the group. but yeah, so straight away I was in my head, and I've not slept well in ages, and I kept fidgeting in bed, like kind of like blowing my nose, get bad hay fever. And then she just went, oh, fuck it, and got out of bed. We have like a, you know, like an air purifier. Mm. So you switch that on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I got one of them.
Yeah, it's just blue light blaring in my face.
Yeah, why have they got blue lights on it?
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
And then when there's too much in the air, they start whirling and they wake you up. It's terrible, yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so she just went to the gym at 4 a.m.
4 a.m.? Yeah.
She was like, oh, fuck it. Like,
little fidgets. Little Johnny fidgets.
By their kid.
4 a.m.
fidgets.
Yeah, that's the everyone in the group, like, oh, kids were terrible today. I was like, oh, shit, I'm the kid.
To return it to Slovakia's glorious victory, they're good. They're good. Poland surprised. This is an upset.
It is an upset. Martin Dobrowka did his best to let one in. Very slow down.
It's impossible to get through without you slagging off a Newcastle player.
Good point. True.
Yeah.
How good was Strinyar's goal, by the way?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The goalkeeper hadn't hit the floor by the time it was bouncing back out of the net.
Yes. I love it.
Such a clean hit, yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult, those goals coming on the same day as that. Shit. Who scored in the Scotland game?
Chick.
Shit.
Yeah.
I could have got away with that because what I actually said was shit. I was forgetting who it was. But yeah, that was a bloody amazing goal. Mm. A great win for Slovakia. And we're now going to get to a break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
I wasn't sure if that was going to be the Brendan Rodgers one. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Vish, and Pete with you today. And now it's time for a new email jingle. Alex Platt, take it away.
Pokemon. What solo was that? Sorry.
Do we need to hear that again?
Yeah, give us
one
more time.
Guitar solo.
Guitar solo.
We'll be quieter.
That's the solo equivalent of the counterattack that Sheik scored on the.
It's what's that song? Early in the morning, rising through the heat. Oh, they did the song Santeria. That band. Anyway, in that song, he goes, I can play the guitar like a motherfucking riot. And then goes, down, 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 down. The words guitar song. Sublime. Being not sublime.
Pete's got an email.
I've got an email. Hello to, who have we got here? It's down here. Chris Harris. It's 2 a.m. in New Zealand and Richard Keys just said on BeIN Sports that throw-ins were unfair because one player had to be off the pitch. He then claimed that Arsene Wenger would agree that the next popular rule change in football should be the introduction of kick-ins. I don't think this was a dream, but I thought you should know. Maybe it was just a banter. Chris Harris. Yeah, I mean, like, surely with kick-ins, you're still off the pitch to do the kick, no?
Well, I guess the word in would imply that, wouldn't it? Mm. I mean, I probably should clarify that it may be 2 a.m. in New Zealand, but presumably that's not when Richard Keys is not up at 2 a.m. just just broadcasting
musing
to various nations off his own bat.
In his big
house. Do we know that? Do we know that he's not doing that?
He does a little shift on Be Out Sports or whatever they're called. That's that weird
be
one.
Be Out Cue.
Be Out Cue, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully that wasn't a... It's more creepy if it's a fever dream or if it isn't a dream.
Yeah, that says a lot about someone's psyche. If also, Richard Keys pops up.
Someone's using their hands, like, and they're throwing the ball in.
Mm. Yeah.
So whatever disadvantage you get, like, we've already seen people can, like, chuck the ball in.
Mm.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Gonna pay
the least of our problems. Oh, so sorry, you're debating with the content of Richard Keys's statements.
I see what you've done there, and thank you for pointing out the error of my ways.
Time to move on. Email in show@footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, the last game yesterday, Spain 0, Sweden 0. Was there more in watching that? Do you feel like there was a more improbable scoreline to that game? One win in six opening group stage games for Spain. We should caveat there with Spain's first goalless draw of the Euro since 1980. That was against Italy.
Yeah, bit of a robbery, wasn't it, really?
Well, no, because Sweden could and should have scored, shouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah, but Spain had a
lot. So it should have been 4-1.
Should have been 4-1.
Yeah, it wasn't a loss for Spain, I think. I tipped them to go pretty deep in the tournament. I do not mind admitting, but they've got through their COVID crisis, hopefully. Everyone's been jabbed. And in the first half, they were bloody brilliant. Morata obviously probably had the chance of the game, but he does have that in him, doesn't he? Poor Morata.
There was just so much defiance from the Swedish players, though, don't you think? Just constantly backing up and keeping them out. I have absolutely no idea how there were no goals in this game.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they I thought they were very organised, but Spain should have scored. Mm. They had some, like, the fact that Sweden kept a clean sheet was much more on Spain than it was on what Sweden did.
Do you think so? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Morata,
they were shitter
was
in the second half, and they kept missing the goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's that last bit there. That's quite an important part of it. Missing the goal constantly. Olmo was good, but probably would have preferred Elmo in the middle than Morata.
Why is he? Oh God.
It's been a while. I haven't been here in a while. Let me get all this out.
Got any more Mac puns?
No, don't, you've already ruined that one.
Sorry.
Don't need to go back to it. Isak, though, why did they take him off?
That was fucking weird. I agree with you. 68th minute, I mean, looked like he could have scored. Maybe that's the whole policy. It was like, you look as though you're trying to score. That is not what we want.
Yeah.
That is not what we want for Sweden. We're just going to try and hold on to this and get our clean sheet. You stop dicking about.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the final straw was when he decided to cross to Marcus Berg, who was had an open net in front of him. And
just fell on the ground.
Well, to Berg's credit, he was like, no, we don't do this. Get off.
To Berg's credit.
Yeah. But no, that was, how good though was Pedri?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously OTC have been raving about him all season. Mm. And I've only seen bits of him. But yesterday was a great example of how you can tell how good a player is when they can speed up play from quite far back.
Mm.
Like, suddenly everything was a little bit quicker when he decided it needed to be a bit quicker.
Mm.
And I wondered, like, afterwards that, you know, like, because we've got, three teams qualifying from most groups, this isn't as bad a result as it might have been in previous championships.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if there'll be a bit like, oh, if Luis Enrique thinks, why don't you just take the silencer off him and just, like, let him roam for a little bit? Just, like, go nuts for one game and, like, let's see what you can do. And we'll organise everything around you.
Yeah.
That's it was so good.
It was very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely wicked to see. Spain, 85% possession.
Yeah. I think everyone was at pains to suggest that Spain aren't as talented as they once were with their neat interplay and interchange. And it's all about intensity and conditioning under their new manager. But they were still very tidy in possession, weren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't understand how you could look at what they did and think, well, they're not as good as they used to be. Like, they're just being brilliant in every single department apart from
putting the ball in there.
This little, tall little man with lovely hair who just won't put it in the net.
Yeah.
Do you reckon if he was shorter, he'd get the same amount of leeway?
Morata?
Yeah.
If he was shorter?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Is this into your psyche again?
This is a little bit, yeah. I think he gets away with being a little bit rubbish because he looks like he should be
better. Right?
Looks the part.
Yeah.
Well, suppose the taller you are, the more if you're a guy, the more you get paid, right? So
yeah, that probably translates into over six, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, so perhaps that translates into
We could get Hosolu up front. Okay. Come on. Come on.
We could get a big coat and then we could be president.
We could be.
You're playing a lot of roles today.
Yeah.
Whose face would we choose? Yours or mine, though?
Why do we do a hybrid? Oh, we'd have to stand next to each other.
Pull each other's skin off.
Which looks more presidential?
This is the thing.
Probably there.
Depending on where we have to canvas, we will decide. And that's generally how you should take it.
Don't write in, show at football.com. Yeah, it was a sort of a game of the youngsters being brilliant, I guess. Isak weirdly taken off, Pedri being incredible. He's a sort of Jude Bellingham character, 18 years old. And Isak himself scored 13 league goals before his 17th birthday. So he's already got, he's got 72 senior goals these days and he's 21. I like this. A Sweden player was booked for time wasting with 37 minutes remaining.
That's enjoyable.
The minutes were as long at the start of the game as they are at the end.
Yeah.
So good.
Just smart. Just playing it smart.
Well, it bloody was, wasn't it? And ultimately, I'm not making that joke.
What joke? Good joke.
Turkey had the wall of meat. Was this a wall of meatballs?
Mm. Oh dear.
It's because they sell meatballs in that shop, isn't it? The Swedish,
yeah. What shop?
IKEA.
W.S. Smith. Oh, IKEA, right. This was the wall of... They had to construct a goal, but they couldn't read the instructions and couldn't get the goal up.
Good.
Sweden manager Jan Andersson insists on having a hot dog every match. This is still relevant in 2018. The team had specific hot dog buns. Andersson's favourite cucumber condiment was also flown in.
Oh, I love that cucumber stuff.
It's like delicious,
kind of like
isn't
it? What's in it? It's like cucumber, mayonnaise and something.
Sugar, I think, lovely. Is the main
thing. What's this? I've never heard of this.
I don't know
it's
what it's called.
I don't know, you get it in the, you get in those
open
face sandwiches. Yeah, pickled herring and open face sandwiches. Oh, lovely.
This is relevant because we're going to get onto tonight's games briefly. Hungary up against Portugal, France, Germany. The Portuguese squad have got, what have they got? They've got 150 kilograms of codfish, 60 bottles of olive oil and vinegar, and 50 kilograms of rice brought with them.
That's nice, isn't it?
They've stockpiled for Budapest. I don't know. I mean,
well, I mean, to be honest, if I was going to, I mean, the Puskas super spreader event that's going to be taking place pretty soon, so 67,000 people going to be in the stadium. I'd be thinking, let's bring reserves just in case we've got to lock ourselves up in the hotel for the next 3 weeks.
Very good. Ooh. I think that is what it is, probably.
You made it sound like they took the fish. We're going to have to feed everyone, aren't we? apparently, this goes a long way.
Very biblical.
They're safe. They're safe and sound. They're ready to dig in for the long haul. Portugal, group of death. France versus Germany.
Oh, that's a real daddy's home kind of fixture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Buck yourselves up. You're in for a fucking football match. Get in there.
It feels a little bit like, right, you've all had your fun. Now the eventual winners are going to sort it out amongst themselves, if you will.
Well, you say that, Vish. There is trouble. We know the French can be a little bit fighty in amongst themselves. Mm. There's already unrest within the France camp.
It's like a sexy unrest, isn't it?
Is that what you think of when you think of Olivier Giroud fighting with Kylian Mbappe?
No. Yeah, how could you not?
Yeah, damn right. Yeah. Women in love it.
Basically, he says that the ball's not arriving. The ball is not arriving. That's Giroud.
Get one of those little cars, mate. get le petit voiture. Garçon.
And that was thought to be a dig at Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
And Kylian Mbappe says he's fine about it.
It's a weird thing to say in the press, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
To your international teammate. They're not giving me the ball enough.
What did he say? He said something. Oh, the balls just don't arrive. He said it on telly, yeah. Mm. He said it on the TV.
La télévision.
Wait. No, that's something else. I don't always pretend to make the right calls, but I have tried hard to give solutions in the area. He came on, of course, in their last warm-up game before the tournament and scored a couple after Benzema went off a bit injured. Not that injured, turns out he's probably going to be all right to play today. So it actually doesn't matter.
We should get to the bottom of this. Someone should talk to the ball. Where have you been?
Yeah. Well, where have you been, man?
Yeah.
Coming from the cold.
Jimmy said he hadn't seen you in a while. Killian says he sent you on his way. Where are you going?
Where have you been?
He's car sick.
You got him with a bad bunch of balls.
Yeah. There's
Mbappe says he's been a little affected. A little affected.
Why do you have to say it like
Why
that?
Because
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean.
French accent is the best accent.
It is, yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. This does feel a bit like 8 p.m. Christmas Day. All the kids have had their fun. They're tired out, and now the adults are going to hit.
They're
the
showing
hard
off. Yeah. Oh, the
it's
kids gonna, are
this
showing
is the
off.
Proper stuff.
We're
yeah.
opening a bottle of green ginger wine, and we're getting ready.
Yeah,
we're going to play poker.
Also, by the way, N'Golo Kante apparently was once late for a team meeting at Chelsea, says Cesc Fabregas, because he politely posed for pictures with fans despite being in a car crash in his Mini.
Sorry, what? There's so much to process there.
Yeah. I know the way that we sort of infantilise that man, is, but he is and continues to be adorable.
No, but he says, get fucked, Pete, is what he says.
All right,
I'm
okay.
just summarising
yeah.
for him.
Okay.
He says he's just a normal guy and it's a bit weird, if I'm summarising, it's a bit weird how everyone wants him to be this like perfect guy.
Well, yeah, I mean... He's
Isn't that from the Aftershave advert? Yeah. I'm not the guy people expect me to be.
And then the walls come down.
Yeah. It is true that sometimes there is this image that is a bit too wonderful, a bit too beautiful. In the end, I'm just a normal guy, a player, amongst others.
Mm. I mean, now it just makes him more wonderful,
guy.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why was he in a car crash, though?
I don't know.
Why
that.
Is he posing with photos, with fans for photos, after he's been in a car crash?
Another little car.
I guess because... Yeah.
Mini.
I guess because they said they wanted him to.
Fair dues.
And he was like, okay, I'm a bit traumatised, but I'll just do as you ask because I'm a really nice guy.
Is the ball insured on the car? Or is it kind
of third
party
insurance? Like, yes. What if it pops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the driver? You know, sometimes you need the driver who is insured sat in the passenger seat.
Yes.
Is there some small little man there with him?
Is the ball having a driving test?
Yes.
Good question. I don't think the ball was steering.
No.
I know driving is new to you, Pete.
Can a ball steer?
My impression is it wasn't in charge of that vehicle. It wasn't in command of the vehicle. It was a bit pissed, maybe.
When you do your next test, you should dress as a football.
Don't be any worse.
If you're enjoying yourself listening to this,
I'm the
guys,
Peter Delta Premier League.
And why wouldn't you be? Get even more from us. Join our Patreon. Bonus episodes, ad-free shows, live streams. Get involved. Patreon.com/footballramble. And ahead of that game tonight, Hungary versus Portugal. Cristiano, I'll leave you with the advice Cristiano Ronaldo gave the press conference, which was to move the Coca-Cola bottles off the table and just shout, drink water.
Yeah, he was...
He'll be fine for that.
It annoyed me the way he took them out of the shot. He sort of like picked up two, like both bottles with one hand and then sort of like... separately, just move them out of the way one hand.
He should have opened them and put two Mentos in them. Yeah. Here's what I think of your Coke.
Well, yeah, so that is a message from Cristiano and from us at the Football Ramble as well. Drink water, join Marcus, Jim and Luke tomorrow. Say goodbye, Vish.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Farewell.
Bye, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.